Welcome to Legend Lore with Luis and Lauren, where we talk about Pathfinder 2nd Edition.
I'm Luis, and I'm a developer at Paizo working on the Pathfinder Lost Omens line. I've been playing tabletop RPGs for over 15 years, written for dozens of Pathfinder products, and I also write the Monsters Physique blog here on the No Direction Network.
And I'm Lauren, and I've been playing RPGs for almost 20 years. I write the Dear Dova Queen advice column and the Bend the Knee blog here on No Direction. You can also watch me play in the Adventurous, Stellar, Fall of Plaguestone, and Three Ring Adventure podcasts. And this week, we're talking about initiative.
Before we get started, we want to say that although we know a lot about what we're talking about when it comes to Pathfinder, we want to remind you that we're not providing any kind of official answers. We're here to offer advice, and you can use it how you like. Remember that the official word from Paizo is the only official ruling out there. But don't forget, it's your game. Do what works best for your table.
Now, put simply, initiative is rolled to determine who goes when in the turn order. Oftentimes, a team is going to want to go first so they can establish board control, take the lead on the race to deal the most damage, or maybe get their defensive spells off first. There aren't a lot of real-world examples that are, say, one-to-one to the turn order, because we don't live in a turn-based world, but there are some good examples from real world and pop culture, such as duelists. Perhaps a gunslinger at high noon hopes to have the quickest draw. He's going to want to roll best in initiative. A pair of dueling samurai want to draw and get the first strike before the other. And we all know that Han Solo shot first.
Definitely. Initiative is basically one of those points when you're playing Pathfinder that it reminds you, yes, this is also just a game. This isn't just make-believe at this point. There are points where you have to just set up hard game rules, and initiative is one of those that comes with the game. You need to know who goes first, otherwise everyone is going to try to throw a fireball at the same time and blow each other up. And as fun as that would be, I think that would be a big chaotic mess. So we have initiative, which I think has been around since the start of the game and has been around in some kind of sense in games for a long time. People take turns in board games and stuff, and that's the same thing that's going on here when it comes to combat for Pathfinder.
I guess turn order has been around for as long as games have been around.
Yep. Absolutely. So this is no exception. As fun as that would be to try to come up with some new way to determine who's going at a given time, I think having a turn order is the biggest example of if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, short of LARP, this is what you get, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now that would be an interesting way to run combats, where you actually go, all right, instead of rolling for initiative, here, I brought this broadsword for you. Here, this is a pouch of bird seed that you're going to use for spells. All right, let's go. Whichever one you hits first gets it. That'd be fun.
Yep.
But in Pathfinder 2nd Edition, we're not adopting that method. We're still going to use initiative, but there's no longer a single initiative score. Like, you don't have I get +2 on my initiative score. Now, there are things that'll give you like +2 when you roll for initiative, but it's not like the one number that is initiative. Instead, you now use your skills for initiative, but perception is kind of the default if there's not a better skill. And at the end, we're going to kind of discuss how some of those skills work as initiative.
This might be different for a lot of you coming in from first edition or from other games like D&D and the like. But yes, we have no proper initiative score, no initiative bonus. And that is probably because of the history of the initiative score. If you're used to playing 3rd edition games or other games with initiative scores, what can happen is someone can pump their initiative really high and suddenly be the master of the first round of combat every time. And that can be particularly powerful if you're someone who you know, gets big, strong attacks, or if you have a really strong spell that you can start off in combat. Whoever won initiative was a big deal, and there were entire builds dedicated to pumping your initiative score as high as possible when maybe the rest of your skills ended up paying as a result, paying the price for that as a result. So the design team realized, hey, there are lots of different ways people might get into combat. Let's just make that determine who gets to go in the combat first and make it easier for GMs to have interesting ways to start combat. But also, then we also can use the perception score to kind of have your default role so that everyone is kind of within that same number range of bonuses to not leave anyone behind at the start of the initiative or anything like that. So it kind of takes care of a problem that wasn't the worst thing that was happening in Pathfinder first edition games. If someone on your party was going first, great, you know, that's a fun thing. But it did lead to lots of situations where someone like the barbarian's like, I only have a +3 to initiative compared to the rogue getting +15. That doesn't feel great. So this kind of narrowed the band of initiative bonuses for everyone, which makes it more interesting for everyone to hop into initiative and not feel like, oh, well, the rogue's always going to go first. Damn. Now I can also have a chance at going first.
Well, that trend is one of my favorite things in second edition overall, is that they took a lot of things that maybe weren't broken but weren't really the best from first edition and from other versions of D20 games, and they kind of just came up with creative ways to make them a little bit better, a little bit more fun. And I think this is just a really textbook example of one of those things that they improved on.
Yeah, definitely.
And now we'll talk about one of the things that is the most requested question about initiative. Surprise rounds in 2E, because there's no longer a set surprise round per se.
Nope. There are no... So, let's go back to Pathfinder 1st Edition really quick. In Pathfinder 1st Edition, in the combat rules, it would say if there are people who are aware of combatants, but not everyone is aware of combatants, you get a surprise round. Everyone rolls initiative, but those who are unaware don't get to participate in that first round of combat, and everyone else has a limited action set that they can use. You could only use a standard action back in the day. So there was a little bit of stuff that you could do, which, again, if you get the jump on someone, having high initiative would be a big deal. A caster could still cast, I don't know, a big fireball on a group of goblins that you sneak up on, and suddenly, hey, there goes the combat. That was fun. Wasn't that cool? The wizard got to do a thing. Let's move on. But that's no longer the case. There is no surprise round at all in the gameplay chapter. Anywhere, it doesn't even suggest that, hey, if everyone gets to sneak up on the bad guys, there might be a chance that you can do an extra round or anything like that. Nope. That is gone entirely. You may still want to do stuff like that, and that's fine, but by the rules, there's nothing at all resembling a surprise round at this point. The closest we have is some guidance from the Game Mastery Guide on page 11, where it talks about initiative, and particularly under the initiative and stealth section. It calls out, basically, if an entire side is completely undetected by the other side, let's say all the players are rogues and sneak up on the bad guys and are ready to ambush them and it's time to go into combat, everyone rolls initiative, but all the opposing side, all the opponents are unaware. They might not even be aware that there are enemies there, so they might just do nothing on their turn and then move on to the next person until it reaches the player's turn, and then they can jump in and do stuff. But anyone who's unaware of an opponent, they're just considered undetected, so you can do things like maybe sneak attack or get up to them before they notice you, things like that. But as soon as it's time for initiative, everyone rolls at once and starts going. You'll have to, as a GM, play the unaware opponents as if they're completely unaware. So just because you rolled initiative doesn't mean that the enemy barbarian suddenly knows, oh, I need to start raging even though I don't see anyone. They might just hang out and walk around for their turn. It's not until people actually get into the fray and are aware of opponents that they will start reacting. But that's it. You don't really have a surprise round to speak of at all. Just people who might not be aware of everyone in combat at the moment.
I do like how if you kind of are getting the drop on them, but the enemy isn't really in a position where it would make sense for them to kind of do nothing, I like how the Game Master Guide offers you the chance to just throw a bonus on there. Like, you're surprising them, but they're not so surprised that they're going to do nothing. So the Game Master Guide says, just go ahead and give that player a plus one or a plus two because they did, and it says something interesting, surprising, or novel, or maybe because it took effort or smart thinking to set up. So like when you kick in the door, you're clearly announcing your presence. The enemy's not going to do nothing. But, you know, you're the one kind of initiating something that they weren't expecting. So, you know, you kind of maybe deserve that plus one or plus two to kind of help you go before they do. And on top of that, this works in the other direction as well. If you're kicking in the door for a plus one or plus two, but the enemies were fully asleep, maybe they get a minus one or minus two to really stack up your chance to get to go first. It's not a true surprise round, but you don't really need a surprise round to emulate the effects of surprise. And these bonuses and penalties kind of let you describe surprise in a mechanical way for your combats.
Yeah, and this is where you as a GM are given liberty to influence that as you like. Plus one or plus two is a definitely a great start for that. I, in my games in particular, go beyond that. This is, again, at this point, just not anywhere in the rules. This is just making stuff up. But if you were to kick in a door on sleeping enemies, it might wake them up in that, you know, they'll be ready to roll initiative immediately. But I might do something like say that the enemies are slowed one or slowed two, so they don't have their full actions in that first round of combat because they're still waking up. Or I might give them a penalty because they might be enfeebled or clumsy or something because they're getting themselves up out of bed and stuff like that for the first round. Or I might even say, okay, you kick in the door, I'll let everyone take an action right away before we roll initiative, and the fighter's actions would be to kick in the door. Everyone else might be like, I draw my weapon, or I cast a one action spell, or something like that, just to give them a semblance of a surprise round. But it's, again, not anything that is official, just something that you as a GM will get a feel as to whether or not you want to do stuff like that. Plus ones or plus twos, I think, are probably the safest way to go, but I like to be very in the player's corner and give them cool stuff like that, like giving penalties to the enemies or conditions and stuff like that.
Now, Luis, yes. My party is resting after a long day of adventure, and you as the GM are attacking us while we sleep. If I spend my whole first turn in this ambush drinking coffee, will you let me get rid of the slowed condition?
I would have said that the slowed condition only lasts one round. But if you start saying that, hey, I'm slowed, I'm going to drink my coffee my entire turn, I'll say like, oh yeah, that did it. That solved the slowed condition. Good job. You're such a smart player. You outsmarted me.
Another tactical thing that you can do to affect the turn order is you can delay as a free action. And in Pathfinder 2nd Edition, what delay does is you leave the turn order fully. You just scratch your name off that list, and then you come back at the end of somebody else's turn. Now, take in mind, since you have left the turn order altogether, you're not entitled to any reactions until you get back. But this is still pretty useful when you need to make sure that X happens before you do Y.
I see delays happen all the time. You know, the fighter might say, I need you to... Or the rogue might say, hey, I need someone to help me flank. The rogue might delay before going into combat and wait for the fighter to set up a flank. Or you might delay to see what an enemy does. If the enemy has been casting spells and things like that, maybe delaying will let you react to the spell that's gonna happen afterwards. There is in addition to the lack of a reaction, there's another thing that delay specifically calls out, which is important to note. Going out of initiative doesn't mean you get to skip things like persistent damage or poisons and stuff like that. Any stuff that was set to happen, like your fortitude save against the poison or the persistent bleed damage that was set to happen on your initiative count, will still happen at that exact count. Even if you choose to delay, you're not going to somehow bypass taking that damage or suffering those effects, because it's got to happen even if you choose to not delay. or even if you choose to not take your turn immediately on the same count that it used to be.
Now, in kind of the same vein as delaying until somebody else does something, you can also, for two actions, ready one action or one free action that happens when somebody triggers the thing. So it happens like on somebody else's turn, but you're not really taking yourself out of the turn order. So I'm going to spend two actions, I'm going to ready my bow, and when this bad guy crosses the corner, wham, I shoot him with my arrows.
Yep. Readying specifically, you pay two actions to get one reaction later, and you got to be kind of specific with your reaction trigger. You can't just say, "Oh, when someone moves, I will attack." You got to be kind of specific. Oh, when the enemy barbarian starts moving, you know, that might be specific enough. Or, you know, you can't say, as soon as someone breathes, I do this. You know, you got to be kind of specific about your triggers there. And keep in mind, you have to use the ready action to use the aid action. As we mentioned in our teamwork episode, the aid action only requires you to spend one action. Typically, by default, the GM can obviously change that as necessary based on the conditions. But aid does not require you to ready. That is just its own separate little thing that you can do. So readying is for things like, I'm going to attack them when they start moving, or I'm going to move away when the barbarian gets close, and things like that.
One of my favorite readies, since I'm a player who doesn't really like to kill my opponent, even with my neutral characters, I typically try to see a person living in this fantasy world doesn't really want to do murders unless they have to. So a lot of times I'll ready in action to finish someone off if they don't stand down. But that's just my own personal favorite.
Sure.
Now, we've done, Luis, a lot of builds here on Legend Lore. Mm-hmm. We've built all kinds of different crazy characters and spell lists and just fun stuff. This one doesn't really make sense to prepare builds. So what we have done is we have prepared different ways in which each skill could be used for initiative. And other than perception, of course, because perception is the default. You see them, roll perception for initiative. But each skill can get a time in the limelight to help you go first.
Definitely. We have one each for every skill. And some of these, I feel, are kind of a stretch. It's hard to come up with some of these, so you're probably not likely to see some of these. Some skills, like the lore skills, come up very often as initiative. But a lot of them, it turns out, you can, when you think about it just a little bit, you're like, oh yeah, I can see using that skill quite a bit in initiative. So
we'll some see. Are quite situational.
Yes, some are quite situational. We'll see how people feel about these. But hopefully this will give you some ideas to encourage both players to try out new ways to get into initiative, and for GMs to say, oh wait, I recognize this situation might actually work better with this particular skill rather than perception.
For the acrobatic skill, imagine heroically swinging from one ship to another to land with skill, grace, and the poise of a cat to begin combat as you board the enemy ship.
Another thing you could be doing is acrobatics requires you to use acrobatics to balance. So if you happen to be crossing a chasm on a rope or a balance beam or something like that, and enemies come up and start firing arrows at you, or you're walking across the room that way and a trap goes off and starts shooting clay balls at you to knock you off the balance beam, stuff like that, you might use acrobatics to roll for initiative in that situation.
Speaking of traps going off, for the Arcana skill, imagine that you're studying the intricate runes on an ancient magic vault when you accidentally conjure a disgruntled air elemental from messing up those runes.
Yeah, and Arcana, in addition to a few of the other common recall knowledge skills, all have... I kind of cheated on this and basically gave them all the same type of initiative, but at any point you might be actively working on something that requires the Arcana skill. So in this case, you might be looking at a magical trap and trying to figure out how to deactivate it, which might require Arcana. In that case, if combat breaks out while you're doing so, you could say, I'm going to use my Arcana to maintain my focus on that particular thing. So you can kind of say that with all the lores and the nature and occultism and religion and stuff, but it's Arcana. It's kind of hard to say that I actively Arcana at the start of combat. So that one's more situational, I feel.
Yeah, I 100% agree that you're kind of cheating. Just make them all cheating. Actively working on the trap.
But it's a thing that happens. If combat starts, someone might be working on a trap, but it's very situational.
For the athletic skill, this is probably one of the more common ones that will be used instead of perception. You have just smashed in the door to discover some orcs playing dice, but those dice are still bloody halfling teeth.
Yep, kick in the door. Definitely a great way to start a combat. I think a lot of people love starting combat that way. Another thing I've always said is, let's say you're climbing up a rock wall when enemies from up above start throwing rocks down at you to start combat. That might be requiring athletics, or similarly, if you're swimming when someone starts attacking, you could do that. Another thing you could say is, if you're about to get into a bar brawl, you just say, hey, I'm going to grab that guy. Okay, cool, let's roll athletics check to grapple and start that fight.
For the crafting skill, you might have discovered a clockwork creature in the dungeon, which is deactivated, and you start tinkering with it when it unexpectedly comes to life.
Or you might be working on a trap that requires crafting.
All right, you can just sit that one out.
I'm going to sit this one out. No, but it's, again...
You're right, though.
Yeah, one of these skills where it's very situational. Alternatively, you might end up with a strange skill challenge that requires you to roll initiative, even though you're not actively in combat. If that's the case, you know, hey, who can craft 100 daggers the fastest? That might be a fun way to do crafting that requires a lot of skill checks through initiative, but not necessarily combat. Again, a stretch. I'm sorry.
I do like the idea that in Pathfinder 2nd Edition, you're using the crafting skill to get to smithing 100 as fast as you can.
Yes, absolutely. Speedrun your smithing skill.
You might roll deception to begin combat. If you throw your hands in the air to look like you're going to comply with the bandit's demands, when you obviously have no intention of complying with the bandit's demands.
Alternatively, deception is a perfect way to create a diversion, feint, to just say, look over there, and then pull out your dagger and start fighting. Alternatively, to throw off your disguise and say, aha, it's me, stab.
I like how before you stab, you announce instead of the other way around. You might think that diplomacy would never come up for initiative, but I urge you to reconsider. Imagine that you're at a negotiating table with the Ulfin ambassador, who's losing their patience and finding their broadsword.
Yeah, I think the design team described, hey, you're in the middle of the royal ball or whatever and have to use diplomacy or deception to roll initiative. I suggested perhaps using the request action of the diplomacy skill to tell your buddy over there to start the fight. And that's a perfect way to get a fight started, I think, personally.
Hey, you should go hit that guy. Yep. All right, roll diplomacy for initiative. Intimidation's an easy one because you're trying to threaten this thief into returning your goods peacefully, but both his and his buddy get nervous and aggressive.
Mm-hmm. Alternatively, intimidation is all about demoralizing people. So if you just decide to yell and roar and to goad people into combat, that's perfectly valid.
The lore skill could actually find a lot of use for initiative. Imagine that you're trying to identify a giant bird using avian lore skill when you discover that it is hostile the hard way.
Yeah, lore skills might also help you recognize a any other kind of situation, sailing lore might be the way that you get into initiative if you're on a boat and recognize that the water is rising in such a way to suggest that creatures are about to come out and attack us.
The medicine skill actually makes a lot more sense than I feel like most people would think. Because if you lean over a fresh corpse and you're like, I'm going to roll medicine to figure out what killed this corpse. And then it bites you. This is a good chance to roll medicine skill for initiative.
As I mentioned, if you happen to be doing a particular thing as combat starts, you might make an initiative check based on that skill. So if you happen to be trying to patch someone up when combat breaks out, you might say, I'm going to use my medicine to try to go first in hopes to maybe finish patching them up so I can get into combat right away.
Nature skill's actually one that's a little bit easier. If you're trying to work with an animal and things don't go as well as you would like them to, then, you know, roll a nature for initiative.
Another thing you could do, as I mentioned with the sailing lore, is use your knowledge to recognize that combat is just about to start without seeing any active animals or creatures out there. If lightning strikes or there's a storm overhead, you might use your nature to recognize that is not a natural storm, that's a magical storm because someone is attacking us.
Yeah, that's a good one too. For occultism, if you're invested in a ritual to bind a hag's power when she breaks free and attacks you, I think asking if you can roll occultism for initiative would make a lot of sense.
Or if you see a weird portal or gate, you can use occultism to try to identify what's going on with it, just as a creature walks through to attack.
So for performance, if you're on stage and you're doing your thing, and there's some heckler who you're just like, geez, this guy is really annoying. But then his behavior changes, and it's an, oh no, he did not just say that. We might be rolling performance when you jump off the stage.
Or if you're playing a song, you might be using it to distract enemies just as your allies sneak up on them to attack, and use your performance at the start of combat to maintain that performance so they don't notice that.
With religion, maybe you just finished 16 grueling hours going over a contract with the minute details of a devil, and he's ready for you to sign this contract when you finally come to your senses and go, you know, making deals with devils is a bad idea. And he's like, you don't just waste my 16 hours, and attacks you.
Another thing you can use religion for is to recognize that someone is maybe part of a religion that is kind of opposed to what you're up to. If you're seeing evil
like
cultists,
that.
You might see that they happen to do a hand sign just as they're walking away that suggests they're part of this evil cult, or they might phrase a word in such a way or a phrase in such a way that suggests that, oh, that's a secret cult message. It's time to jump this guy.
That's good. I like that. Society is often gather information in this new world of second edition. So when you're gathering information in the city part of town and you overhear two thugs say something like, the eagle has landed, that might be a good time to roll society for initiative.
Yeah, coded messages is my suggestion here. If you're doing some kind of undercover infiltration and someone on your party or one of your allies you hear say the particular code message, like the eagle has landed, or you're following someone and waiting for them to say a particular code message, society is the one that you use to decipher that and recognize now's the time to jump into action.
Stealth is too easy. You're sneaking up on someone and you're going to give them the stabby stab.
Yeah, or you palm an object to secretly draw your weapon before you reveal yourself as being in disguise.
Survival makes a lot of sense when you're tracking your quarry and then find them.
Yep, alternatively, believe you might be tracking to get through the wilderness or using survival to get through the wilderness when you're ambushed by a bear or something in the woods, and the thing you happen to be doing was using survival to get around.
And finally, we come to the last skill, alphabetically, thievery. Imagine that you've got your hand deep into Mark's pocket when a guard starts obviously heading your direction.
Or combat might have started and you might be working on disabling a trap. And thievery would be the skill that you're using to do that. Or if you're picking a door lock or something like that, you're doing all the roguish stuff just as combat is happening. You might say, I'm going to use thievery to keep working on that stuff I'm doing.
I'm just glad we were able to come full circle with that.
Yep.
And it looks like our questions rolled last in initiative, so it's time to answer some of those. From user Northern Dreamer, how would you handle a perception as initiative check when the party hasn't even seen the thing yet?
Well, I think, as we mentioned earlier, you might provide penalties or circumstance conditions that suggest that we don't know what's going on. Alternatively, you can just say roll for initiative, roll perception, and as the GM say, you don't see anything, and you're not aware that anyone's attacking you, so go on about your day, and just let them go through their initiative count for a bit before something happens.
From KD crew member Vanessa Hoskins, how would you run a situation where the players wanted to do things, such as cast a spell, enter stances, etc., before entering an area they suspect has danger, such as the other side of a dungeon door?
I think it was Mark Seifter who told me once that we recommend letting players do just that. Let them cast buff spells or draw their swords or draw their shields and get them ready and all that stuff. But don't let them have more than one round of combat. Casting a buff spell requires you to speak in a loud, clear voice, which even on the other side of the door might catch the attention of the bad guys on the inside. So you probably have one round's worth of actions that you can do stuff before initiative proper has to start. I think that's a reasonable way to handle it. We don't want the old school days of, I'm going to cast 20 buff spells on all of us before we go in, and then we can go in and kick their butts because we're just fully charged at that point.
When I'm GMing, as long as the player doesn't want to do an action that has like some kind of requirement of already being in counter mode, I just let them do it. Real cool. But with stances, though, Vanessa, the thing that you have to realize is that they do have the requirement of being in encounter mode first, and you can find that on 157 in the core rulebook.
Yes. Okay, and our next question here is from user Radium Elemental, who asks, it's the GM's discretion whether characters can use a reaction before they have acted in combat. Do you have a go-to rule for how you handle that? Are they... Do you have just a flat rule that applies all the time? Is it based on surprise, based on their exploration tactics, and so on?
I do have kind of a flat rule because I like to keep things simple. If they're not surprised, so they knew they were getting into a fight, they can use reactions. Done. Case closed.
Yep, that's basically what I do. Anyone who was unaware of combat won't have a reaction on that first round, but anyone else... That's fine. It wouldn't make sense if the player's kicking the door but don't have the reactions. It just let them have it. Anyone who was not ready for a fight will not have a reaction.
All right. That's the last turn in initiative for today, so we're going to go to the top. Make sure to check out the rest of our content on the No Direction Network. If you like this show or any of our other blogs or shows, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/nodirection. It's the support of our patrons that make this all possible.
Until next time, I'm Luis.
And I'm Lauren.
Thanks for listening to Legend Lore. And as always, it's been legendary. And then I look super cool because it's got the whole cage and stuff to hold my...
You've always looked super cool.
Well, thank you, Lauren. I appreciate it.